This is SMDC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of The High Ground, U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command's official podcast. I'm Ronald Bailey, a.k.a. Beetle. Originally recorded in April 2025, we're now releasing in May 2025, following Lieutenant General Ganey's recent public announcement of the 40 Delta Space Operations Specialist Military Occupational Specialty, or MOS. When most people think about soldier involvement with Army space capabilities, they probably associate that with Functional Area 40 Space Operations Officers, or NCOs from other branches that hold the Army Space Cadre Additional Skill Identifier. Come 1 October 2026, that all changes with the enlisted 40 Delta MOS. To help explain the Army's need for its newest MOS, the types of missions and duties they'll perform, and how an interested soldier can learn more before applying to become a 40 Delta, we've brought in two of the most knowledgeable people on the matter. They are the current Command Sergeant Major of Army Space and Missile Defense Command, CSM John Wayne Foley, and Army Space and Missile Defense Center of Excellence Senior Enlisted Advisor, Master Sergeant Daniel Huddleston. Although we couldn't bring them into the studio to mic them up due to their busy work and travel schedules, we were fortunate enough to at least get them by phone. We began our discussion by me asking CSM Foley to address the elephant in the room when it comes to Army space in general. Why the Army needs soldiers and its own space capabilities when there's already an entire branch of the military, the U.S. Space Force, dedicated specifically to space operations?
Really good question, and actually a question I get all the time. Just like every other service of the military, we retain, or each service retains, certain aspects of mission areas or capabilities to conduct service-specific needs. So to put it simply, you know, we have an entire Navy dedicated for the military, but the Army has Army watercraft vessels to conduct logistics, amphibious operations, and so forth. And then we have an entire Air Force, but we have Army aviation for rotary wing aircraft and unmanned aerial systems to conduct troop supply, medevac, things like special operations, recon and attack operations. And so those are specific needs and requirements that the Army has to conduct. So kind of drawing the correlation to United States Space Force and the Army space capabilities, we also need our own capabilities as well. So the Space Force has a mission of protecting U.S. and allied interests in space and provide capabilities to do so. And so they're really ensuring a stable and secure space environment for U.S. and allies. Army space is more concerned with terrestrial problem sets versus the Space Force. They're really looking at on the orbit, in orbit, and further out into space. So looking at the Army for capabilities for our warfighters on the ground, combating our adversaries, whether it's offensive, defensively, and through space assets, but the target is on the ground. So bottom line, Army space professionals are boots on the ground that are affecting the adversary from the ground through space and back to the ground. And so we like to think that Army space starts and ends on the ground.
That concept addressed, I asked Master Sergeant Huddleston who needs to know about the new MOS and who should be listening to this podcast specifically.
When we're talking about who needs to know about 40 Delta, I mean, that's two fields. So there's one, it's the folk that will be interested in changing MOS or coming into the Army looking at what could a career field be, and that's 40 Delta. And we are honestly going to look at every single MOS out there when we're doing that. But every headquarters in the Army and Joint Force needs to know about 40 Delta, because 40 Delta is that driving force that our FA-40 Alphas use in operations. So we will be in their operations shop, or their G3s at division and above headquarters, shaping operations within the battlefield, on the ground, making sure combatant commands can move through using the space domain, which is very contentious right now because the space domain, a lot of people don't understand, but that's where you get your GPS, which is your navigation, that's your timing, that is your satellite communications, and all that commanders need to be operational during a fight. And so that is 40 Delta integrating how we do that on a battlefield for that commander and the operations. And it is also 40 Delta's in-space units of action doing the actual interdiction. So 40 Delta needs to be known across the force because commanders across the field need to know who they can go to and who they can utilize in the next fight. And that will be, just for the listening out there across the force, that will be on active duty, that will be on National Guard, and that will be in the reserve force.
I followed that up with the genesis question. What problem was the Army seeking to solve that resulted in the creation of the brand new 40 Delta Space Operations Specialist MOS to solve said problem set? CSM Foley quickly stepped in with that answer.
So the real problem set here is, and why we are going after a 40 Delta MOS today, which has already been approved by Headquarters Department of the Army, is we historically had Army space soldiers since the 1990s operating primarily in Space and Missile Defense Command, doing Army space missions and missile defense missions. We've come to an inflection point now where we are growing outside of SMDC, Space and Missile Defense Command, into, you know, we have 5 missile defense batteries that are stationed around the world. We have the new multi-domain task force that have been stood up, and we continue to stand up more for a total of 5 of those. And then we have the approved theater strikes effects group that will be at the theater level, and the first one going to USRPAC. So we're expanding Army space capabilities and growth throughout the Army at different echelons. And we can no longer sustain the fact that we borrow soldiers from those career management fields, 14 CMF, 25 Signal, and then the 35 Intel. So we've been essentially borrowing soldiers. We spend a lot of time and energy training them, getting their clearances for top secret clearances, and then we lose them in about 3 years or so after a life cycle, and then we have to start that entire process over again. So essentially, we are not able to move past proficient soldiers to be experts and masters in Army space mission sets. And then the second real issue is, once we return a soldier after a 3-year tenure to back to their parent MOS, there is an atrophy of skills that they have lost, and they are behind their peers and are trying to catch up. And so that is not good for their career model as well as they progress. So the establishment of 40 Delta will allow those soldiers to go back to their MOSs in their career fields while we look across the entire Army for soldiers who wish to take that leap to a 40 Delta MOS into a new MOS that will propel them new heights in skills and knowledge. So that's kind of the genesis of why we are going after 40 Delta and the problem set that we are trying to solve.
Master Sergeant Huddleston followed that up by differentiating the roles and responsibilities of enlisted 40 Delta MOS from the functional Area 40 Space Operations Officers, which have been around for some time.
Yeah, so what's the difference between an officer and enlisted? Just like every branch in the Army has their officers and they have their enlisted force, we do 2 separate things. Officers are experts of the overall career field with wavetop knowledge of everything. They have the authority of an officer and the ability to be a commander. Obviously, enlisted soldier and NCO don't have quite the same things. We are the ones on the ground. We're the ones getting work done. We are the enlisted advisors once we make rank to those officers. But we become the pinpointed experts. We become the actual operators of the systems that space and missile defense have at 40 Delta. We will become the trainers of the system. And hopefully one day, once the 40 Delta has matured a little bit more, we will have the master gunner, which everyone can appreciate what a master gunner truly does for the command team, what they do for the operations, and what they do for the soldiers as far as training them, getting them on systems and everything. And that will be across Army space. That will be high altitude, which is systems you're looking at 60,000 feet up to 100 kilometers. And also missile defense. And when we say missile defense, we're really talking strategic missile defense. So we're not duplicating, we're not taking anything from air defense. It will be strategic missile defense. That is missiles that, to put it bluntly, they're missiles that are way bigger than anything air defense has. It is missiles that are in the ground in silos to counter any missile threat that could come to the homeland. And so when you look at what officers have to do as far as commanding and making those big level choices and taking responsibility of that, they're able to do that and focus on that because they have those crews and teams of enlisted out there being the actual tip of the spear while that officer is holding it and directing what should happen. So we are looking for some truly expert soldiers to become refined and amazing NCOs down the line.
Being a brand new MOS, I asked CSM Foley to explain how the Army would assess soldiers into the MOS with questions like, can a soldier assess directly from the recruiting accession pipeline? Is it similar to FA-40 space operations officers that already have a basic branch and MOS? And so on.
In reference to Army accessions and how we're going to assess our 40 deltas, you know, we've had some engagements with senior leaders at headquarters department of the Army on career pathways and you know, the recommended career models and progression models and how we assess future 40 deltas. And so the decision was made, we really wanted to follow the accessions model of our FA-40, functional area 40 officers, you know, looking at a slightly more mature soldier, looking at a soldier that has to get a top secret clearance, which could take some time, and then bring in a background from another career field and basically having some Army experience and having a drive to be a space operations soldier. So when we look at that model, we think the FA-40 model is a good model to look at somebody with about 2 years of experience that understands how the Army is employed, how it fights. And so we think that soldier can best support the warfighters with that experience. Now, there is a way to get in, and it would be by the exceptions through MEPS or military interest process station that recruiting stations send their people to. And that's for them to pass a unique test outside of the regular ASVAB for entry into the Army. So in other words, you take the ASVAB test, yes, you pass that for entrance into the Army. Then there will be another test based on Army space, just like Cyber has a test. They have a test to enter, a standalone test for those that are signing up. And so if you pass that test, then you'll sign a contract for 40 Delta, but with a delayed timeline of 2 years after you've served in another MOS. Let's say, for instance, you can be a 11 Bravo or 11 X-ray infantryman, and after 2 years, as long as you're in good standing, you could transfer over to be a 40 Delta. That way you've already gained that experience through basic combat training, AIT, first duty assignment, and then you come over to 40 Delta. So it's basically a way to open up off the street contracts at MEPS, but with a very small population. And then, you know, as we kind of assess this in the future, there may be a time that we do assess off the streets, but we don't think that time is now. But, you know, we could move, you know, 10, 15 years from now and a decision can be made, hey, you know what? Maybe we can assess off the streets based off of what we're seeing in the accessions pipeline and how good our soldiers are and how proficient they are at their jobs.
I then asked Master Sergeant Huddleston to unpack the types of units, locations, and missions 40 Delta soldiers would be performing, given some of those duties have been fulfilled for a while by soldiers in other MOS, while some missions and units are or will be brand new to the Army, National Guard, or even the Army Reserve. I need to note here, due to sensitivities surrounding some of those missions, systems, and duties, he couldn't fully answer our questions, but we certainly thank him for doing his best with what he could actually say.
Yes, sir. So the job of the 40 Delta will be unique. Obviously, it has to have its own critical tasks that are not copied by any other MOS. So 40 Delta will span across Army space, high altitude platforms, and missile defense. With that, if you think on the space side, as that is not commonly known, an easy way to think of that is we have a space cannon, so we have a non-lethal weapon, and we need people that can do targeting of that, and then we need a gunner and an assistant gunner on that weapon. So we will have jobs that do that, that do the targeting, that we have the gunner, assistant gunner. We have folks that do the integration of that and tell a commander and his or her ops of, these are the targets, this is how we can integrate, these are the weapon systems we have across the battlefield. So we have base control planning teams that are doing that. We have space support elements. And then on the high altitude, we have balloons that are out there, and we have multiple sizes of balloons. They operate over 60,000 feet. Those things can do all manner of effects for a commander on the battlefield, depending on what you attach to the balloon. I can get more into that with anyone that reaches out directly to me, as long as it is on a higher classification. And then we have missile defense side of the house, which is you will be on a crew. You will either be forward stationed with radar sites that we have all around the globe, feeding into a greater air picture. So the command and the teams and the crews that are actually on the operation center floor to launch those missiles have the best picture of what is happening around the world, what threats are coming our way. So we have those five forward station, then we have operation center and missile fields throughout the U.S. So some of those locations, I'll break it down by active guard and reserve. So on the active side, we do have Space Missile Defense Command, which is split between Redstone Arsenal, Alabama. We have Colorado Springs. Also in Colorado Springs, we have the School Howl. So you could be an instructor. We have the NCO Academy coming online in a couple of years. So we'll need SGLs there. We have the five multi-domain task force, which within those have high altitude platoons, and they have the multi-domain effects battalions, which have the space control companies throughout. And so that'll be in JBLM. That is Colorado Springs or Fort Carson. That is Hawaii. That is Germany. That is Fort Bragg. We have the Theater Strike Effects Group, which will go effective in Hawaii in a couple years. We have the five missile defense batteries, which are forward postured throughout the world in places like Japan, Israel, Germany, Qatar, with sensor manager sections, which are the people that really read what comes off that radar. So they have the screens really looking at how that fits into the entire integrated air picture. And they are at air operations centers in such places as Hawaii, Germany, South Carolina. Then we have those space support elements that are helping those commanders out. And that is at every division and above headquarters. So divisions, corps, Army Service Component Commands, Combatant Commands. And then we get over to the National Guard, which is heavily made for the missile defense. So that is ground-based mid-course defense systems. The brigade is based out of Colorado Springs. It has a battalion up in Alaska. It has a detachment in California and a very small detachment in New York. They also have a battalion doing some space control things, which is fantastic. And it falls under the 1st Space Brigade, which is an active duty unit. So that is the only brigade in the Army that has all three compos. It has active duty, National Guard, and Reserve, which is very unique. And we like to say that we fight that way across space, high altitude, and missile defense. And then also in National Guard Division Headquarters, you will also have those space support elements. And then in the Army Reserve, we have that battalion, and we also utilize our reserve brothers and sisters throughout the schoolhouse, throughout SMDC proper, throughout 1st Space Brigade. So even though, as of right now, there's one battalion for the reserve, it looks like in the future there's most likely going to be an additional battalion, but that is still in its infancy. But that current reserve battalion is in at Fort Carson in Colorado Springs. And like I said, it falls up under 1st Space Brigade. So it is very unique, but we are across all three compos, and we will afford every opportunity for every soldier, whether you're active, guard, or reserve, to come in as an E4 and have the possibility, as long as they do well, to make it all the way to E9, no matter if you're active guard or reserve.
As with most of our episodes or topics here on the High Ground podcast, I asked our guests to dispel any myths or misconceptions about 40 Delta. Master Sergeant Huddleston jumped right in on that.
So the biggest myth I get, and it's everywhere I've gone so far in this job, is that we are simply going to flip the soldiers that are currently serving in Army Space Units of Action to 40 Delta. So if you're a 14 series, 25 series, 35 series that are currently in a billet, we're just going to flip it. And that is simply just not true. What we are doing is, when we looked across the board at what positions are doing Army Space, those are the ones we recommend to the Army, to the positions to become 40 Delta. Once all that got signed off on what positions those were, we also made a very conscious decision that we are going to open this up to the Army, the entire Army, to see who are the best fit, E4 to E9, so Specialist Corporal all the way up to Sergeant Major, Command Sergeant Major, of who's the best to come over. Because it could be someone serving in it. It could be someone that used to serve in it. It could be someone that's never even heard of Army Space before. But we want quality, not quantity. We definitely want to open the aperture up of who can apply. I would say the next one that I hear a lot, and some contention here, is that we are taking critical billets away from Army branches to create 40 Delta. And that is also not the case. This has been vetted. It's been all the way up through Combined Arms Center, through TRADOC, through Forces Command, through HQDA, Headquarters Department of Army. And the positions that we put forward and said that, you know, we've done our due diligence, they are doing Army Space tasks, critical tasks. They're not being redundant of another MOS, and we're not taking anything from another MOS. And that has been true to date. So, again, we looked at the positions, not the people. We had, and the Army has said, yes, this makes sense. We do not want to hurt any other career field. We don't want to cripple by taking people. And we definitely don't want to take their force structure just to make a 40 Delta. So we did this very diligently. We looked at positions, and I think the Army has agreed, yes, SMDC did a very good job of laying out what positions are switching.
And although he touched on it earlier in our discussion, CSM Foley reiterated the non-factual and common myth about all missions Army Space professionals perform, including what functions those 40 Deltas will provide.
Oh, I had a third myth. All right. So another myth that I get, especially at my level, because I talk to all the Army senior leaders, and, you know, we've been, for lack of a better word, campaigning Army Space MOS for a while now, is Army Space is not the Space Force. Two distinct things. Space Force has their own mission and concentrates on things on the orbit, in the orbit and beyond. Think orbital warfare, space domain awareness, which means, hey, they're tracking all the objects in space, tracking what our adversaries are doing and how they're maneuvering. So a lot of this is on orbit. So really high tech stuff that Space Force does, and we really appreciate what they do. Army Space, simply put, Army Space soldiers can only perform missions unique to Army missions. So they must be on the ground to have the effects to provide for the warfighter and maneuver force. And they operate in deep enemy areas and extended deep areas. That is a distinct difference that only Army soldiers can do for our Army.
Curious myself, as I have heard a variety of numbers tossed around, as to how many 40 Delta billets the Army will authorize, both initially and with projection estimates into the future, I asked Master Sergeant Huddleston to articulate just how many billets or soldiers we were actually talking about.
So 40 Delta billets, or, you know, how many people could we actually fill the Army with for 40 Deltas? For people that don't truly understand what a billet is right now we're forecasting just under 1,000 personnel that could become 40 Deltas. And that is 1 October 2026. Now, when we look at some approved force structure growth that's out there that the Army has already approved, to include the Theater Strikes Effects Group, the other multi-domain effects battalions coming online, because we have an additional two coming online, There's just some growth there, and it looks like by about 2032, we could grow up to 1,500 personnel. So hopefully we can get enough people to come over and fill all those billets, because this is a critical job in MOS in the Army.
I followed that by asking CSM Foley if he could help clarify, even if only nothing more than an estimate, when some of the billet conversions will begin happening for those already performing those duties in their other MOS, and when the pipeline for new applicants will begin.
When we're talking about when can soldiers apply to transition to 48 Delta? So as the listeners know, we stated 1 October 2026 is the implementation date of 40 Delta MOS. So we don't have anything concrete as of yet on the exact timeline that you can start applying, but we do project opening in the sessions October of this year of 25 with applicants and who are assessed and being notified during the second quarter of FY26, which is January to March of next year. So we do project that, but still up to Army decisions and how we're going to roll that out. But nothing concrete as yet, but we are optimistic that we will start in October this year. Over.
All right, then. So once a soldier is assessed as a viable candidate to become a 40 Delta, what does that soldier have to do to complete the process? Master Sergeant Huddleston explains how that will work for those initial conversions for existing soldiers and with future new accessions.
What makes a 40 Delta? Once you put in and you become assessed and approved as a 40 Delta, the big flag that we need and the big hurdle first is you need to be able to have a top secret. So every 40 Delta by MOS will have a TF-SDI. We do have programs that go a little bit higher than that, still in the top secret realm, but there's another tier within that. So you have to at least be able to get the sensitive compartmentalized information, the SDI. The MOS from 1 October 26 to 1 October 29 will not have a single formal course that you go to. We will have an interim training strategy that consists of four courses. And we will, when you get coded as a 40 Delta, we will also code you with an additional identifier that is a Yankee 2 that simply means you need to conduct those four courses to be a full 40 Delta. You can still PCS, you can still get promoted, everything is 40 Delta. You just need additional training. So that training is Army Space Cadre Basic Course, which is 2 weeks, Tactical Space Operators Course, which is another 2 weeks, Base Control Fundamentals, 1 week course, and then Army Ground-Based Mid-Course Defense Staff Course, another 1 week course. So 6 weeks total. So if you're able to come to the schoolhouse for the entire 6 weeks, then you're good to go. If not, then just if you're active duty within that first year of becoming a 40 Delta, we're going to get you through those courses as time allows with your unit. If you're guard or reserve, we're going to give you an additional year just due to funding and getting folks into courses. But that Yankee 2 identifier will really help. Our primary concern once you're a 40 Delta, the very first course we need to get you into is the course that's needed that's tied to the position you're going to for your unit. So each unit has a very specific task and mission for the Army. So if you're going to go to a sensor manager section, we need you to come to the schoolhouse and get the sensor manager qualification course. If you're going to a space control and you're going to be a gunner, assistant gunner type of a 40 Delta, you need to come through the schoolhouse and get a space control systems operator course. If you're going to go missile defense and be an actual operator here stateside with 100th Missile Defense Brigade, we need you to go through the ground-based mid-course defense fire control qualification course, because that allows you to do your job, and we need you to be lethal from the second you get to your unit. Now, there are some caveats to that. If you are a person that already has one of those courses, the biggest one being Army Space Cadre Basic Course, if you have that, you do not need to do it again. So now you just have three courses to do. If you happen to have more than one, you're just a little bit closer to it. So it only helps you out if you have those courses. Definitely not a bad thing at all. But as far as a lot of people also ask what civilian education they need to come over to 40 Delta, you do not. If you have a doctorate or if you have you know, just military education. We're looking at your skills, your behaviors, your attributes, what, you know, what makes you, what's your character like, to bring you over. So if you have something that is space related, it will definitely help you as a person, but that does not negate any of the courses that we have to offer, because we are very Army specific, Army space specific, and we will ensure that you are trained up to the best of your ability to be lethal as an E4 or all the way up to an E9. So we don't want people to shy away because they're a senior NCO and they feel like they will be lost in it. Pretty much everyone is going to be new coming over to the MOS. So please, if you're a senior NCO and you're thinking about it and you're quality NCO, come on over. We will get you trained up for it.
Since we'd addressed most of the information about where the initiative for the MOS came from, the duties of a 40 Delta, and how a soldier can become one, I followed that by asking CSM Foley why someone would want to become a 40 Delta Space Operations Specialist soldier. What's in it for the soldiers themselves?
As we look at why a soldier would want to become a 40 Delta, why would he be interested in what type of soldier we're looking for? First off, we've been getting lots of inquiries for the past almost two years of soldiers interested of being a 40 Delta, especially those that are already serving in those billets right now. So we think there's a lot of interest coming from the Army within Army Space and within the rest of the Army. And so big attraction. But put a bit bluntly, why would somebody be interested? I mean, it's a brand new MOS that provides lethal and non-lethal capabilities that have not been truly integrated at depth by the force. And so we are actually just getting started to really expand Army space capabilities to be on the front edge of the fight within a space domain, which is 24/7. As we know, the character of war continues to change, and to be able to dominate in the space environment, we're going to have to do that to be able to fight and win our future wars. As we look at what type of soldier we're looking at to become a 40 Delta, you know, we want somebody that's really driven, intelligent, well-rounded, self-starters, who are eager to be the best at what they do. And, you know, looking at somebody that's has key skills, attributes, and behaviors that point to a person having the best potential of excelling as a 40 Delta. So really looking at somebody of operational experience, understanding how units are employed, how they fight, and really looking at somebody that's disciplined and has good character. And we can't forget those traits, because we can get all focused on the technical aspects and what somebody brings as far as like skills and attributes, but the behaviors are extremely important. And the last thing is, you know, we're looking Army-wide too. We're not just looking at, you know, a few MOSs that we would call feeder MOSs. There's no feeder MOS. Anybody can apply. We will assess each one of those individuals based off of those skills, attributes, and behaviors that I just described, and we'll select the very best to come over to perform in Army space and strategic missile defense roles. Over.
Okay, so aside from what they may have learned from this podcast episode, where can soldiers, leaders, career counselors, or even recruiters go to self-help learn more about 40 Delta MOS?
So if folks are interested in learning what a 40 Delta is or how to apply or any of those things and staying just up to date on information, the Space and Missile Defense Command Facebook page is a very useful tool. The Space and Missile Defense School has a new Facebook page. It is only has a couple of posts, but it will start gaining traction as when 40 Delta information comes out, and we'll start posting on there. There is a CAC-enabled website, AskMe, A-S-K-M-E, all one word, .army.mil. It has information across what all of Army Space is, what courses are at the schoolhouse. It has reach-back information on the space and missile defense side, but it also will have all the information for what a 40 Delta is, what the packets will look like once all that's approved with Army, and so on. I will say the Army will also come out with messages that will go Army-wide. Career counselors will have messages and will be knowledgeable on this once this is out officially from the Army. And so you can go through normal channels of, if you have questions, if you're already in the Army, going to career counselors, going to your retention NCOs. But those are some websites as for now. And the Army is also working with our proponent office, the Office Chief of Space and Missile Defense, to update in the future Go Army website. So the Go Army website will have 4D Delta on there, just like all the others. And when you put in your attribute and what you're looking for, it will populate as, this is 4D Delta, this is what a 4D Delta can do, and it's across Active Guard Reserve. So there are many options right now.
Already running a bit long, I asked CSM Foley if he would more or less bookend his thoughts on why this initiative surrounding the 4D Delta MOS is so important to the Army.
So to kind of wrap up, you know, what we've talked about here and really about 4D Delta Army Space MOS is, you know, this is a brand new MOS in an environment we have in the Army today. You know, the Army thought it was extremely important that we bring on a brand new MOS for Army Space and Strategic Missile Defense. It is that critical to be able to fight and win in our future wars against peer adversaries. This is about history. It really is that we've kind of shifted to be able to have to dominate in space. And if we can't dominate in space, we can't win.
For those of our repeat listeners to the podcast, you'll know what question comes next as we close out the episode. For the benefit of our new listeners, our last segment typically comes in the form of a lethality or survivability question. How does all this either protect our soldiers and or make the Army more lethal against our adversaries? Master Sergeant Huddleston had the honor for this episode to explain that for the 4D Delta MOS.
Yes, sir. So 4D Deltas will ensure the lethality actually can occur because the Army and the Joint Force and our adversaries, militaries, and our partner militaries all depend on space assets. So whether you're talking some form of GPS, which is position, navigation, timing throughout the world, if you're talking about satellite communications, there are thousands of pieces of equipment in each brigade that depends on that. So we cannot effectively fight the way that we train to fight without space. And 4D Delta soldiers and our FA-40 Alpha officer counterparts ensure that the Army and our joint force can have those abilities to still have GPS, to still have satellite communications, that we can counter our adversaries' abilities to use their own position, navigation, timing, to use their own satellite communications, that we can have those high altitude platforms throughout the battlefield before a soldier is even there. So that way we can see and sense what is going on, which again increases that lethality because we actually have informed decisions instead of just rushing people in. We can actually send people where they need to go. We can use military deception and save lives that way. And then we do have some abilities, some lethal abilities, but that gets classified very quickly. So I'm just going to say we do have some lethal kinetic abilities within Army space. And if they want to learn more about how we can reach out and punch the enemy in the face from a further distance, I would say come on out and check out what a 4D Delta is.
On behalf of the High Ground podcast team here at SMDC's Redstone Arsenal headquarters, I want to thank CSM Foley and Master Sergeant Huddleston for taking time out of their busy schedules to help us produce this episode. Although SMDC doesn't own the 4D Delta MOS, as the Army's proponent for space, missile defense, and high altitude, the team here at the High Ground felt we should lead the effort to explain what the MOS is all about. We hope you found it useful. Being a military historian myself, I can't also help but wonder on this 250th birthday of the United States Army if the soldiers and leaders of the Continental Army would have even fathomed such a thing as they fought to establish our new nation. Anyway, securing the high ground here at SMDC, just remember the signal is one if by land, two if by sea, but everything else goes through tactical SATCOM terminals. To learn more about SMDC's exciting people, missions, and locations around the world, check out our social media or follow us on the web at www.smdc.army.mil.